A reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them, 'This is how you shall bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace.' So shall they invoke my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy.
May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth, among all nations, your salvation.
May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy.
May the nations be glad and exult, because you rule the peoples in equity. The nations on earth you guide.
May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may all the ends of the earth fear him.
May God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As proof that you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Beloved, today's solemnity of Mary, the Holy Mother of God, historically, prior to the great Vatican II Council, was celebrated as the solemnity of the most holy name of Jesus. But since the Vatican Council II, it has been the feast of the holy name of Jesus has been transferred to January the 3rd. But in the light of what the Church has come to fully define and declare as a dogma, as a doctrine of the faith, in the relationship of Mary to God, but specifically in the person of the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the eternal Word of God, which took flesh in the fullness of time, she has been declared definitively as Mary, the Holy Mother of God. And as you know, most times when we honor Mary, there are misconceptions, there are misinterpretations, misunderstandings that go forth when we honor Our Lady in the role that she played in the work of salvation by the favor of God throughout from all eternity. She was selected, she was created for the purpose we hear being heralded in all four Gospels, namely as the means by which the eternal Word would take flesh and dwell among us. This was defined in 431 in the Council, the Ecumenical Council of Ephesus. We also have a significant thing to realize in the Gospel, that it's coming from the Gospel of Luke. Remember, Luke began his Gospel, his writing of the Gospel, by saying that he has taken his own opportunity to interact with those who were eyewitnesses of the events surrounding this momentous reality that God dwells among us to bring this gift of salvation to the whole world. He engaged in interviews with eyewitnesses. One of those eyewitnesses was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember, at the foot of the cross stood Mary and the beloved disciple John. Jesus from the cross addressing his mother, "Woman, behold your son." To the disciple whom he loved, "Behold your mother." The Gospel says from that time forward, he took her into his home. Where was John residing at that time? In Ephesus. We also know that Luke was a companion of St. Paul. For the 3 years that Paul spent in Ephesus, Luke was his companion there. So he evidently took the opportunity to engage in conversation with Mary, asking her questions relative to the events of the Nativity and what came afterwards. How else would we have the detail as we hear it in the Gospel? All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds, and Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. He could have only been able to include that detail in the Gospel through her own testimony. So we are given a very powerful revelation in this Gospel of St. Luke of its credibility and its historicity. We are not dealing with fables here. We are not dealing with myth. This is real. It has happened, and it continues to have an impact, a very real impact upon us who are the children of the promise. As we hear St. Paul speaking to the Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons, and of course, by default, daughters. As proof that you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The term Abba also translates affectionately as daddy. So we have this definitive revelation. On this solemnity of Mary, the Holy Mother of God, the gospel affords us insight as to how we ought to be. How is it that we are to take this great mystery of love and carry it forth into our world, a world not unlike the same one that Jesus came into? Here we are on the first day of a new calendar year. We just bid farewell to 2022. Some of us saying, thank God. Because why? Like every calendar year in a world gone wrong in sin, each year brings with it its fair share of joys and sorrows, Bethlehem moments and Calvary moments. And we can rest assured that as this new year begins, we will experience Bethlehem moments and Calvary moments. But that does not diminish, nor does it stop, the mystery of the gospel, which has been made known to us and entrusted to us through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. For how is it that you and I have become children of Almighty God? Not by circumcision of the flesh, as we hear it declared in this gospel. That was the tradition of the first covenant, that every firstborn child, every firstborn male child, was to be dedicated to God on the eighth day following their birth, brought into the temple. As it was prescribed in the Mosaic law, so it happened. Mary and Joseph, faithful to the law, brought Jesus in. And as they did, the prescribed ritual was performed. He shed his blood in the circumcision, foreshadowing the blood that he would shed for the remission of sins and for the redemption of the entire world atop Mount Calvary. And as a result of his death and burial and resurrection, we who have been baptized experience the circumcision of the heart, meaning we have become infused with the divine life. God has taken up residence in us. We have now the distinction of being the children of God, and we too were given a name, a Christian name, a name that signifies what it should look like for us to be heralds of a gospel, to be those who go forth as missionaries, as emissaries, if you will, ambassadors of reconciliation in this world. Yes. We see characterized in today's gospel the shepherds following their encounter with the divine host of angels. They move with haste, not unlike Our Lady after her encounter with the visitor of Saint Gabriel, the archangel. She moved in haste to the hill country of Judea, Ein Karem, to see about her cousin Elizabeth's needs, who was with child 6 months. Why moving with haste? Because there is that type of excitement when one encounters the divine in one's life. They come to the scene, and as they perceive and witness what was told to them by the angels, what then? The shepherds disclose what was told to them. Mary, we are told, treasured these things, reflecting upon them in her heart. In other words, she was piecing things together. As she was receiving these revelations of God in time. And so when we, as the followers of today, we who are the disciples, we have the same charge, the same call is upon us. We are to cultivate this same type of enthusiasm, This same type of passion to go forth and make known how we have experienced the Lord in our lives. Yes, today, this new year, is a time for us to reflect. To reflect upon this mystery of love incarnate. The late Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI said the following relative to the mystery of the incarnation. God made himself small so that we could understand him, welcome him, and love him. We understand God by spending time with his word. How else do we come to know someone and to deepen an understanding for them and a love for them? But by dwelling in conversation, being in the presence of one that we love, that we're in relationship with. The gift of God has been given to us. The name given to this child before he was conceived in the womb was Jesus. We know the Hebrew form of the word Jesus is Yeshua, familiarly referred to in the Old Testament, Joshua. It is salvation that was named this child. This salvation has made it possible for us, as St. Paul articulates it in his letter to the Galatians, to be the children of God now. What we shall become has not yet been fully revealed, but it will, because we will behold him as he is. We shall be like him. So this new year, hopefully, we should be inspired to make a resolution, not merely that's relative to our physical well-being, but what about our spiritual well-being? So many people have shared with me over the past year how they enjoyed going through the Bible in the Year podcast with Father Mike Schmitz. Today, he sets in motion the new adventure, going through the entire catechism of the Catholic Church in the course of 365 days, as well as the Bible in a year. Some people are doing both. God bless them. But this is a way in which you and I can truly experience a transformation of the mind and of the heart that will cultivate this enthusiasm, this passion, this ability to proclaim this gospel, as well as spending time in the silence like Our Lady, treasuring, pondering, reflecting, piecing things together as we witness to the mystery of love come among us, dwelling with us in word and sacrament. Another thought for resolution could be, you're faithful to coming to Holy Mass on Sundays, a holy day of obligation, as well as the other extraordinary holy days of obligation that happen throughout the liturgical year. What about taking on another day, a regular daily Mass that works with your schedule, taking the time to meet Jesus outside of the great solemnity of a Sunday and engage him in the day-to-day living of Jesus among us in the Holy Mass, in the daily Mass? That's a possibility. Another thing, how often it happens when we take advantage of going to confession in the season of Lent or Advent or any time the sacrament is offered in an extraordinary way. We are sometimes ashamed to have to tell Jesus in the person of the priest, "Bless me, Father, if I have sinned. It's been 10 years, 20 years since my last confession. I'm so sorry, Lord. It's been so long, and it's hard to believe." But of course, once all of that's said and done, then we get down to the matter of what? Disclosing the heart, telling Jesus how much we love him, how we're sorry for having failed to do what we should have done or could have done. And with the help of your grace, I intend to do better, to avoid occasions of sin, to glorify you, to allow you to grow and become in me what you became in the fullness of time. We can do this. It's available to us. Do it devotionally, once a month. Set it as a reminder on your phone. It's not about being condemned as a bad person. Going to confession is about being reminded we are not yet fully perfected. We are in a process of being perfected, of being made holy. God perfects. God is the one who constitutes holiness in our lives. Today is a new day, a new beginning. We look forward. We also look back. And as we look back on the past year, Let us not only reflect and call to mind the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in our lives, but let us also take stock of the challenges, the things we suffered in the past year. Because God, in a mysterious way, uses all of these circumstances to bring about his purpose, his plan of salvation for you, for me, for the entire world. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us through the Son. God love you.